Hey, talo falava everyone. Thank you, Craig, for that introduction. As you heard, I'm from the Samoa Law Reform Commission. And just by way of background, Samoa is located halfway between Hawaii and New Zealand. We have a population of approximately 185 to 190,000. It's known for its endless sunsets, its breathtakingly beautiful beaches, and of course, its Manu Samoa rugby team. Its most recent notable characteristics are changing the side of the road on which we drive from the right to the left-hand side of the road, and also moving the international dateline from our west to our east so that we're now in the same day as Australia and New Zealand. We are an intensely Christian country, and it is a country which is communal in nature. Samoa is a country fiercely proud and protective of its culture. This culture is called the Wha Samoa. The Wha Samoa, or the Samoan way of life, includes the Wha Matai, or the system of traditional chiefs. The head of each extended family is a chief, and these chiefs then form a village council of chiefs in each village. These village councils meet regularly to deal with the affairs of the village in accordance with custom and usage. They have powers to impose punishment by way of fines in money, mats, animals, or food. And so they deal with the local offenses which threaten village harmony. Samoa became independent in 1962, and the same year, a new constitution came into effect. Our constitution is our supreme law. It guarantees fundamental rights and freedoms, such as the freedom of religion in Article 11. The fundamental rights chapter of the Samoan constitution draws heavily on the Universal Declaration on Human Rights. Samoa is a relatively young nation. Its constitution is reasonably robust, but challenges to the constitution and these freedoms have arisen in the last decade. Challenges to Article 11 have arisen from the communal nature of Samoan existence. The existence of religious freedom guaranteed by Article 11 on communities situated on freehold or state-owned land has not been an issue. Traditional communities located on customary land present a different picture. The village councils, which exist in rural Samoa, are well known for their role of controlling village affairs and maintaining peace and harmony in the village. Samoa's small police force are concentrated in the urban area. So village councils control customary land, which is 85% of the land in Samoa. Now, the need to interpret Article 11 has taken the form of cases brought before the courts between the individual and groups on one hand and village councils on the other hand. These cases have been over the violation of religious freedom. Typically, these cases involve efforts to establish a new church in the village against the wishes of the village council. Now, often villages have had the same denominations since John Williams of the London Missionary Society brought Christianity to Samoa in 1830. So after a commission of inquiry was established and gave its report on these various cases arising, the Samoa Law Reform Commission was tasked to find a compromise between religious freedom and the authority of village councils. A starting point for the Law Reform Commission was that Article 11 would not be touched and it would remain as it has always been. However, the freedom of religion is not an absolute freedom. The Constitution allows reasonable restrictions. The reality of rural and community living in Samoa often means that an individual cannot expect to be unfettered in his or her activities as he or she would be in an individualistic society. So all cases that have been before the courts has seen the courts support the rights in the Constitution. However, the courts fail to comprehend the reality of everyday life in rural Samoa. In most cases, while the courts have ordered the affected individual or group to return to the village and build their church, these successful plaintiffs have not. And why is that? It's because their community, which gives them their identity and sense of being, has been alienated. And any reconciliation will only be carried out when the village council is good and ready. In a sense, then, it is up to the Samoan custom to secure and restore such rights to an individual who is deprived of them, despite what the court says. Instances where plaintiffs have tried to return without proper restoration have led to violence and unrest in villages. While religious freedom is to be supported and encouraged, it cannot be pursued at all costs. It cannot be pursued at the expense of the village council, which is the glue holding together the fabric of Samoan society. Samoa has a strong culture, and village councils are an integral part of that culture. They have been there since time immemorial. The Constitution, on the other hand, was created to satisfy Samoa's aspirations of nationhood so that the United Nations would accept its strive for independence as a colonial territory. It is a situation of a legal framework superimposed on an existing culture. It has always been a question of fit. So does the reasonable restriction clause of the Constitution accommodate this? Now, since Christianity came to Samoa, village councils have entered into protective covenants with church ministers or church reverends. It means church ministers or reverends are protected and accorded the highest status and respect by village councils. In any given village, whether there are two or seven churches, village councils accord the same protection, status, and respect to each of those church ministers or reverends. For village councils, the issue for them is not so much a freedom of religion issue, and it's really been it is more a question of how many protective covenants can they enter into. Rarely has it been a case that villagers have been prohibited from attending the church of their choice in another village. When village councils prohibit the establishment of a new church, it is both a territorial and land issue and a social harmony issue. It is a territorial and land issue because customary land is communally owned, and no one individual can decide unilaterally what is built on that land. It is a social harmony issue because new churches attract people from outside the village, people who are not subject to the village council and therefore do not respect and obey village rules. But oftentimes, it's simply a practical issue. When a small village has five or more churches, it means that these large structures are practically side by side. The Constitution also recognizes custom or usage, which has acquired the force of law, either through legislation or common law. So customary law needs the intervention of Parliament or the courts to render it law. A 1990 Act called the Village Whānau Act or the Village Council Act recognized the existence of village councils and the control they exercised over their communities. However, this act is inadequate. In many ways, one of them is while it gives powers to the village councils, it does not specify how they should exercise those powers. So what do we at the Samoa Law Reform Commission consider as the way forward? Religious freedom in individualistic societies is very different from the realities of communal societies. Religious freedom, which is an individual right, like I said before, cannot be pursued at all costs, but neither can village councils have unfettered powers to make decisions on this freedom, or any other freedom for that matter, in a vacuum without consultation and proper processes. We believe the key to reforming this Village Whānau Act or the Village Council Act is to introduce concepts such as consultation, especially between those wishing to set up a new church and village councils. Other concepts such as general applicable laws and neutrality means that village rules, protocols, and bylaws must not target particular denominations. Concepts of constitutionality of village rules and bylaws must be introduced through a system of registration of all village bylaws, rules, protocols with the Ministry of Justice, which determines then the constitutionality of such. So if the Ministry of Justice rejects these bylaws or rules or protocols, this will mean that they do not comply with the Constitution. The way in which village councils make their decisions can no longer be arbitrary and unilateral. They must abide by the rules of natural justice. Now, the proposed amendments to the Village Faunal Act are intended to bring to light, scrutinize and expose unreasonable decision-making by village councils so that abuses of fundamental freedoms are eliminated. At the same time, it is not an exercise in downplaying their importance. It is an acknowledgement of their importance in maintaining peace and harmony in the villages. This approach may be considered by some as inadequate or soft, but the ultimate aim of this reform, as it is with every other reform undertaken by the Commission, is to ensure that peace and harmony is maintained in Samoa. So thank you for your time. I trust this gives you some understanding of what we face. And thank you to the International Centre and the Law School for the opportunity to share our realities and to enjoy your wonderful hospitality. Faftai lava.